devotional going on right now, and it's all about discipleship. I think the 6 days of discipleship, I think, is how she framed it. And I would just say to anybody that hasn't looked at that yet, if you can get a hold of that devotional, it's really very good. And I would really encourage all of us to look that over, to pray about it. I know that this is something that the Lord is really looking for in the time period that we're in. It's more than just looking about getting saved and knowing that we're going to be in heaven someday, but it's about the now. It's about experiencing the kingdom of God that is within, that God wants to speak to us right now, wants us to have hearing ears, like a disciple, like someone who really wants to hear, wants to grow, wants to know about this master that we serve, this king that is going to come back.
Yes.
We understand this.
Yes.
The king that we serve, the king who through his spirits wants to speak to us every day, wants a relationship with, he himself is going to come back and rule and reign in this world.
Yes.
And he wants us to be there with him. And that requires some things out from us. So that we are really developing a relationship with him right now. Isn't that right? We're not just waiting for some future time. That is going to come. But we have today to live. Amen?
Yes.
So this is what's really important. I'm going to be using some words today that could... You all know the words. Difficult. Everybody knows what difficult means. Yeah? Yes?
Yes.
You're going to have to respond here. Okay? Difficult. What about violent?
Yes.
You're going to learn something about violent I bet you didn't know before. To press forward. To press. We're going to talk about that. Zeal. Everybody know what that means?
Yes.
To be zealous about something, to have zeal. All right, we're going to talk about that. Contend. Mm-hmm. What's that word mean?
Fight for.
Fight for something, right? It's a striving. That means there's something pushing against you. Yeah?
Yeah.
There's something pushing against, and you and I have to press through. We're going to talk about that. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In talking about discipleship, this is something that really is going to be very important for us. It's an attitude of heart that we're going to be talking about today. It's Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to start in verse 12. Matthew 7, 12. To be a disciple, to be someone who really sits at the feet of the Master, of Jesus, there's a particular thing that really is very important here. Now, it might not sound like this verse 12 really applies, but it really does. This particular attitude of heart, and I'm going to get into some other things. It says here in verse 12, "Therefore, all the things that you want men to do to you, do even so to them. This is the law and the prophets." Right? So this is I think I missed something here. But this is known as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. How important that is to be a disciple. There has to be an attitude of heart where you're going to think about and do to others as you would want them to do for you. Right?
Yeah.
To do unto you. What do you want? How do you want people to treat you?
Good.
Nice. Good. What? Anything else? Get more specific.
Loving.
What? Loving.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Anything else?
With grace.
Give grace to people. Give them room to grow. Give them room to find out that the way they've been acting toward you isn't so great. Yeah? This is part of being a disciple. We have to give room to one another. We have to give grace. We need to be loving. And lots of times, I think, when we say this about do unto others, you have them do unto you, you're thinking about how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to,
right,
when you're thinking about this. But the real onus, the real God putting his finger on you or me is, well, how are you, how am I going to treat other people then? Right. Because when we get in situations in life where somebody bothers us, for example, we have a particular response that automatically is going to show itself. And we have got to then stop that response and give the grace to the person not to react in our flesh. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But we feel very justified when somebody hurts us, don't we? It's not going to be where we're really acting like a disciple when we shoot back at people, is it?
No.
No, I can't hear. I'm not quite sure if you heard me.
No.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah? And believe me, I am speaking to myself. And I hope you're hearing. I don't want you to miss anything. You know, we've had a wonderful service so far. But, you know, you can miss it. We can miss things because we want to see something awesome and fantastic happen within a service when really the really good thing that God is doing is happening in the prayer that somebody gives, the heart that you feel when somebody is praying for you and you sense. Isn't that one of the most wonderful, beautiful things that can happen? It's deep. It comes without observation. That kingdom of God being manifested comes a lot of times without some kind of grand show.
Yeah.
And the church can get into the grand show of things. And they don't think, us as individuals can miss the really deep, wonderful thing that's going on in our midst. And I hope you didn't miss it this morning. Because there were some really beautifully deep Jesus moments when God was ministering to different people in this church. Did you see that? Did you sense that? I sure did. And I wouldn't have noticed it a year ago or 2 years ago. God is doing something way deeper within all of us. And we can't just allow things to go past us. We have our own pet little things that we like about services, or we like about being with certain people, maybe not with others. Those things have got to drop off. We need, as a body of believers, to mature and really, truly be disciples of Christ, where we live as He would want us to.
Yes.
We're not playing. This is serious, and it's a lot of fun. You know that? Did I just say something that doesn't make sense? It's serious, but it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it's deep, and it's wonderful. And most people are looking for something outside of Christ that's going to give them fulfillment, and you're never going to really find it.
No.
It's not. You're not finding it outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You just really won't. Anything that you think you want that's outside of the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, achieving things in this. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, without Jesus in our life, and living according to His precepts, and knowing what His Word says about things to give us guidance into how to approach life, it just all falls apart. It falls apart.
Right.
The world right now is falling apart.
Yes.
You guys know that. There's got to be some place where there is a solid foundation. And it's not going to be someplace else. It's going to be inside of us. You. As a person, the character, the response to situations. When you see something that's wrong, to know how to contend against it. Yeah. This is all we're going to talk about today. Contending for the faith. Because it's being attacked from all kinds of sides. I didn't write down the scripture reference. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I did. I just didn't get to verse 13 yet. I thought, well, how did I miss putting down the scripture reference? But it's underneath Matthew 7, 12, 14. All right, so verse 13, okay? So I need to get that 12 mixed in there, but we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. This is what it says. Enter in at the straight, in the King James it says straight gate. Does somebody have a different version? And what's
narrow
gate. Somebody have anything different than that? Because there's another word that is used at that spot instead of straight or narrow. It's called difficult. Enter through the difficult gate. Yeah? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's many people that go there. Do you know why?
It's easy.
It's not difficult, it's easy. It's the easy way out. Think about what's going on in our country, in the world. It's the easy way. Don't push against anything, just flow with whatever's going on. Oh, this is all, this is how life is, you know. Just do what you're told. Don't stand on conviction. Don't stand on what the Word of God says. Just follow along. Just be a bunch of sheep. Yeah? Because the sheep that the world wants isn't being led by the shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a whole different shepherd.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So it tells us here, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be that go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now there's a whole bunch of people that have made have accepted Christ into their life. And they've gone through the correct gate. You know, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. He's the gate. Right? So, there's lots of people that might find the right gate, but they go down the broad way. The wrong way. And that's the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. You get that? You can be born again into the life of God as a child of God, but still make all kinds of wrong, bad decisions in your life, go through hell in your life, and still be a Christian. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me on this?
Yes. Bob says I'm good.
Yeah, what'd you say, Bob?
I have a Savior, but no Lord.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. That's right. Because we said this before a few weeks ago, Bob. You know, Jesus is our Savior. That's the gospel of salvation. But Jesus is also supposed to be our Lord. And that's the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of Jesus being king of our life. Ruling and reigning in our hearts right now. Right now.
Yes.
There is going to be the future 1,000-year kingdom where Jesus is on the earth, and that's something to really be looking forward to. But we can experience his ruling and reigning in our minds and hearts right now. That's something that we can have. Do you want that?
Yes.
It's only going to be for people that want it. If you don't want that, okay, fine. That's all up to each individual, isn't it? All right. So I was trying to think of things that are difficult, or that whole thing deals with getting pressed in a way that's different. That you want to go in a certain direction, but you find that there's things in life that get in your way to get there. Every single person in here, I mean, I bet you all of us would say, oh yeah, that's what I want. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. But guess what? It's a difficult way, because lots of things get in the way to push you in a different direction. You ever get into I've had this happen before. You get into a crowd of people, and I'm talking about a crowd where, you know, you're bumped right up shoulder to shoulder. There's somebody right in front of you. There's somebody right in back of you. You're in this big crowd, and you're moving toward a place where, you know, maybe you're going to pay for tickets or something, or, you know, this gigantic crowd. And then, have you ever been in a crowd and you want to go in a certain direction, but the crowd's pulling you in a different direction? Yeah? You know what I'm saying? This is what it's like walking in this world. The world wants to funnel us in a particular direction of thought, of attitude, and we have to be people that push against that.
Yes. Amen.
How many people seen The Chosen? You've seen that. You know they have those t-shirts. And I have a tie that has fish. And the most of the fish are swimming in one direction. But there's a few fish that swim in the other direction. Right? We have to be those fish. Right? We have to swim against the tide. We have to go against the current. And we have to be willing to be those kinds of people. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, you understand? I didn't write it down, but in Mark 2, I'm not going to read the scripture, but it's the story of the paralytic, the guy that's laying on a bed. He can't move at all. And he and his friends hear that Jesus has come to town. And there's such a press of people Jesus is standing in the doorway of a house, and he's preaching to this big group of people. And here's the paralytic and his friends, and they're trying to push through to get to Jesus so Jesus can put his hands on him and heal this paralytic. Can't get through. It's kind of difficult. Did his friends and him just go, oh well, I guess it just isn't time. Oh well, I'll just live like this the rest of my life. No, they contended. They pressed against. And what they saw was when they couldn't get through, well, there's got to be another way. You know what they did? You guys know the story, right? They find a way to get up to the top of the building where Jesus is, and they start tearing off the thatched roof. And then they lower him down through the hole in the roof, and his friends, thank God, he had good friends, they went to all that trouble, and they brought him down there, and Jesus said, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Why? He didn't give up. He realized life is hard. Life isn't here for us. We're living in this world, but nobody in this world is going to really treat us so wonderful, like we're the center of the universe. Except our parents. And then that doesn't happen all the time. What's that?
The Italian mother.
Yes. Any Italian mother is going to take care of their sons, for sure. That was my experience. That's why I'm... Never mind. So they lower him down, and Jesus said, and he heals him right there. What if the person, and I'm wanting you to make the connection between where you are in your life and what God wants out of you. That when things aren't going our way, when we're not going in the direction that we want to, do we just give up? Do we just give up?
No.
We can't, can we? We have got to pursue the Lord. He wants us to contend for the faith. You hear that? He wants you. He wants me to contend for the faith. We've got to know what that faith is. You better be reading your Bibles. Yeah? You better want righteousness. I want to live the way God wants me to live. Because that's where the full fulfillment of life is going to be. It's going to be the way He wants me to live. He's my Creator. He has a certain way. He has His precepts that help us to live life and life more abundant. That's what He tells us. How important is that for us? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Lots of things come against us in this life, even before we became Christian. But when we become Christian, there's an added amount of pressure and resistance to try to wear us down. Yeah?
Yeah.
To try to get us to give up. Mm-hmm. Matthew 11, verse 12 says this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's kind of a weird kind of verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can take it in a couple ways. But this is what I want you to consider today. The word violence means to force into something, to grab a hold of, to seize. So the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It suffers this approach to get in to the kingdom of God. Could that be us? Could that be us? Looking to get into the kingdom of God? There's a lot of people that are running away from it. Don't want anything to do with God ruling and reigning in their life and showing them the way to go. People just want to do what they want to do. That's that nice broad way. And yet that's where the greatest fulfillment's going to come, isn't it? So to say that somebody's trying to get into the kingdom of God, I hope that would be all of us. You hear me? And then it says this, and the violent take it by force. You know why? You know why it has to be by force? Because there's something pushing against us to take the kingdom, to live in that kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. There's always something to resist. I don't know how this all works out in terms of, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the God of love. And we just want to hear that. But there's something in the mix of that that deals with, he wants us to contend.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That word violent, let me get through it. It means to strive, to contend, to obtain the privileges of something. You know, you gotta fight for it. You and I have to fight in the spirit realm, okay? We're not picking up anything and hitting somebody over the head. We must contend for the faith. Jesus is letting us know it's not a little sweet walk. There's going to be those times. But there, every single person in here, you have experienced where life or the enemy of your soul or even your own attitudes is bringing you down. Right? We've got to realize that we have got to be above in that situation and that we've got to fight for the kingdom of God. Going. Yeah. Bob's going like this. It's all up here. It's all a mental battle. Right? The battlefield of the mind is where what we're talking about here. What thoughts are we going to allow to prevail? We get thoughts about, what did that person mean when they said such and such about me or about that? And then our minds and the enemy can help us create some kind of picture that we believe to be the truth, and it might not necessarily be that way at all.
Right.
And we've got to change our minds. Don't we?
Yes.
Philippians 3, verses 12 and 14 say this. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. What's it? Press? You got to get through the junk. You got to get through. You ever go through a house where there's all kinds of stuff all over the floor you forgot to pick up, and you know, it's kind of hard to get through some places, right? Yeah? You with me? So those things can happen, and you know, you're pressing through. You got to get something out of the way. You got to move this. If there's a whole bunch of people in the house and you need to get to the bathroom, you know, you ever have to push somebody out of the way? Excuse me, I gotta get to the little boys' room. Yeah, there's a press. There's a thing where there's something in the way. It's the difficult way. There's obstacles in the way. There's going to be this. Jesus tells us ahead of time, there's going to be obstacles. Don't expect Jesus to move everything out of the way for you and me. It's not going to happen. And so he says here in Philippians, but I press on that I might lay hold of that which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. In other words, God has a ministry. God has purpose. He has works for us to do. He has assigned that we are to have to do these things. He wants us to do certain things in this life. And Paul says, I want to take hold of the very thing that God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yes.
And then he says, I don't regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things that lie behind and reaching forward to the things that lie ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God is going to have a group of people that aren't just going to bounce through life knowing they're saved when there's so much that needs to get done. He wants disciples, doesn't he?
Right.
That's our choice, isn't it? And Paul says he's going to press toward that goal. That means there's going to be obstacles in the way, but he's not going to allow those obstacles to get in the way. Is it easy when you want to, when you say, well, I think I'm going to take some time out, I'm going to pray. And then the phone rings. And then you remember, oh, I haven't seen that show in a long time. I think I'm going to watch. There's always going to be something to get in your way.
Yeah.
Right? And we make choices that take us in one direction or the other. It's important, isn't it, for us to realize this? This isn't too heavy for the kids, is it? Is this okay? Is this okay what I'm saying? Okay, just wondering. Because it's tough. It's tough for younger people. Because younger people want, hey, let's party time. Let's go out and have a good time. And that's all great and good. But we're going to do better. All of us do better when we're connected with Jesus more. Isn't that right?
Yes.
He isn't some casual person. He's right in the center. He's right there. And we're going to need to want that. Because there's enough obstacles and enough pushback that if we don't want something enough, we'll miss out. You're going to miss out on Christ now. I can miss out on Christ now because of my stupid choices that I make in life. This isn't something to negative about. I'm not being negative. I'm saying there is, like Jesus said, He has come to give us life, not more abundant. But we're so cuckoo sometimes. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
And not only are we missing out, because that's kind of a little bit of a selfish attitude sometimes, but there's going to be others missing out because of our selfish attitudes and making bad decisions. So,
yeah,
beyond.
Absolutely.
beyond just us, right? It's about other people too, right? So
that's right.
So you know, this isn't just about us and our quality of life only. Because if we're in the wrong place, we're not showing other people that need to know Christ.
So. Yeah, exactly. Right? And this has been a theme right along. There's a dark world out there. Doesn't even realize that it's missing out on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all the beauty that's involved, that's there for them. But if we're not in the place where we can be light to bring them to that, not only is it hurting us, like Reggie just said, these people miss out too. So that's really important. So, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. I want to read this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. All men except, right? Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Zealous, right? Now, what's the word zealous mean? What's that mean?
Eager.
Right? Yes, it's a desire. It's a deep desire. Now, I don't know about you, but I found over the years after becoming a Christian, when I first became a Christian, I thought, I have all kinds of desire to be with God and I have a zeal for God. And as time went along, I found out, I don't have as much zeal as I thought I did. I don't love God as much as I thought I loved God, because there's areas in my life I don't want to let go of. Have you come to that conclusion too?
Amen.
And then that's when we repent, we ask God to help us, we cry out to God, and then we step out in faith to see something turn in our life. Right? God's not there to condemn us, he's here to show us so that we cry out for the very desire that we need to make it through this life the right way.
Amen.
Revelation 3, 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's the whole point, isn't it? To get to the place where we turn around. Repent just means I'm going in one direction. No, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to go in the direction God shows me. Yeah? It's still working. Okay. All right, so I'm going to read two more scriptures up, and I'll be done. Jude verses 3 and 4. So this is like the capstone for the message, because it's about contending for the faith. This is what it says, verses 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you. He's appealing to them. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly people who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. There's a contending for the principles of the faith. There's a contending for living the life that God wants us to live. Yes?
What is a
Ungodly living, usually it deals with sexual lusts, is what that's dealing with. Yeah. But it can be any kind of desire that is outside of what God condones.
Yeah. The NIV says a license for immorality.
Yes, it's mostly for immorality. That's right. Now, hopefully, we understand that we can't do this in ourselves. God wants us to make the choices, but guess where all the power comes from? Right?
Yes.
That's why we keep falling back to Jesus. We keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So I wanted to let us be reminded, you know, Jesus is the one that's going to help us along the way. So the last scripture here, Philippians 1:6 says this, "Be confident of this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Hallelujah. The more, as long as we keep turning to Him, no matter how many times we fall, we get ourselves back up again. We repent. We say, "God, help me. Help me get through this particular thing, this attitude, this wrong desire, whatever it might be." He's going to be there for us, isn't He? And He's going to give us the power to live the life that God wants us to live. Lots of churches these days will not be preaching this because most people don't want to hear that there is a disciplined, good way to live, and it deals with being submissive and obedient to the Word of God that has been written down for us. Most people in this world, they don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. But we want to hear that.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
This is what I love about all of you. You want, and I want to live the life that God has called me to, and for you guys too. This is important. This is serious stuff. And in a world that wants to be tickled, that wants everything, you know, let's just stroke, just keep stroking me. We miss out on this thing. It's important to love and be there and stroke people, and you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that's all people want to hear.
Right. Not about.
It's out of balance. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. We need to hear the balance. We have to have the balance. So, Lord, I thank you today. Lord, you've called us to contend for the faith, to be people that are willing to grab a hold of the things that are needed in our life, not let go, not give up. I thank you, Lord, today.
Yes.
Make this something real inside of all of our hearts, that we will be those that will listen to you through everything. Whatever we have to go through, Lord, you'll be there for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.